Jesus said we need to be baptized. Baptism does not save you, but it is something that is really a huge, huge spiritual concept and truth that you and I need to partake in, and so many great things happen. Some of our greatest services are those baptismal services, and we pray for one another, prophesy, and speak into one another's lives. It is encouraging, so I encourage you to partake in that. All right, well, we're going to continue our series today as we're in this 21-day fast together. How many are enjoying their first week of fasting? That's about five of us. How many have no idea what I'm talking about? All right, a few more. We started this year off, 2014. We've been doing this for several years now, quite a few years, really, where we start the year off with fasting and prayer. We dedicate 21 days aside. And listen, it's more than just fasting for 21 days. We are taking time, setting a time, space for God, and learning how to live a fasted lifestyle. So if you haven't started yet, you can start this week. It's okay. This is not legalistic. We have some helps out at the information table. There's also some helps on our website that will help you pick a fast that works for you. Last week, we talked quite a bit about different types of fast, and so I encourage you to get online and listen to that portion of this message, which was put online this week. You can listen to that at the website. Some different things. Listen, let me just say this. We need to fast. As a Christian, you and I should be fasting, we should be praying, and we should be laying up or giving. Look what Jesus said, Matthew 6:6. But you, say me, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to the Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. This is really about praying and getting a hold of God in a secret place, shutting out the world, and learning how to live a lifestyle that puts God first. And really, Jesus taught this and said, he didn't say if you pray, he said when you pray. As Christians, we should be praying and seeking Father God. Now, it's good to have a list, and we encourage you in this fasting and prayer that you have a journal and write some things down. But listen, it's not so much about your list as it is allowing God to deposit his list inside of you. Come on, somebody. That's really, when you're seeking God, you want to get a hold of God's will for your life. Verse 16, he said, moreover, when you fast, say when. He didn't say if, he said when. He expected us to fast. Do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, say me, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees again in secret will reward you openly. So when we fast, when we pray, we are fasting and we are praying, seeking Father God. Now, we talked last week. You have a choice of what kinds of fast you want to do. Some of you are taking a no-food fast, and you're juicing or protein drinks, whatever the Lord's put on your heart. Some of you are just doing some water fasting. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, but again, there's information for that. But one thing we mentioned last week is there's two things we need to do. No matter what your fast is, however many days we go, throughout the course of this 21 days, you and I should be setting aside two things for sure. Some kind of food. You should be getting yourself to a place of hunger for food, all right? Whether that's skipping a meal regularly. Some of you, something a traditional Jewish fast would be to skip breakfast and lunch and then just have a dinner. But listen, don't take that dinner and put all your meals all in one. That's not, you're defeating the purpose. What you want to get to a point of hunger, because what we're doing is we're shutting out the natural man so that we can grow in the spiritual man. That's the concept of this. So we should be fasting food and some form of entertainment. I mean, some of you may choose to fast all any kind of entertainment. But we need to be fasting. Listen, we got so much entertainment. Help me out, somebody. We got so many things that we fill ourselves with. No wonder people can't hear the voice of God. Verse 19, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is teaching three things here, and then he goes on in the remainder of this chapter and says, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll wear, where you'll live. So what Jesus is showing us, if we'll pray, if we'll fast, if we'll give or lay up, if we'll make our life a sacrifice, we will not live a life of worry and doubt. Why? Because we are tapping in to God's will for our life. In another place, Jesus said, seek the kingdom of heaven first and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God wants us to have a full life, but unless we're praying, unless we're fasting, unless we're giving, we are missing out, I believe, on so much of what God has for us. And I know some of us here this morning are probably thinking, oh, Pastor, I don't think that's true. You're wrong. Can I just say that? You're wrong. If Jesus had to fast, and he did, 40 days before he started his, what we would consider public ministry, and Jesus lived the life of fasting throughout the 3.5 years that are recorded that he walked the face of this earth, and he walked in miracles, he walked in power. If he had to fast on a regular basis, because many times he'd say to the disciples, I have food to eat that you don't know of. Jesus lived a life. So what we're doing is we're taking 21 days, because some say it takes about 21 days to establish a habit. There's really no scientific proof to that, but hey, it sounds good. We're taking a portion of time, setting out the first fruits, the first of the year to fast, but then to say, Lord, now that I've learned what hunger feels like and how to deny that hunger, and now you've filled me spiritually, now I know how to apply that to the remainder of my year. That's why it's important to get to a place of hunger. In some way, you need to be missing food. You need to be missing something and then asking God to fill it, because what starts to happen, once you get past the hunger pains, is you really start to get a hold of God. And then when you start to introduce food, entertainment, okay, we'll just say this. Maybe part of your fast is you're not going to shoot as many zombies. I know I was going to kill somebody with that one. All right? All right? Some of you, you need a video game machine just to tap into your video game machine. I mean, it's crazy. And I'm all for shooting zombies if that's what you like. All right. But if you fasted, let's say you lay down your favorite zombie game for 21 days. Part of your fast, now this should be food too. Entertainment's just one thing. Taking time to seek God. When you start to introduce the food and the zombie game, what's going to happen is you're going to get into that zombie game. And I will guarantee, if your heart, if you're really fasting to God, not just to check it off and say, I went so many days without this or that. That is not what fast. You might as well just stop. Don't even do it. You are fasting to get a hold of God. Does that make sense? That's why we fast. I want to teach this because so many of us don't even know what this is. We don't even understand it. And it's so important to your spiritual growth. So that when you start to introduce it back into your life, let's just take the zombie game we're talking about. You start to play and you might shoot half a dozen zombies. And you might be thinking, God. And you can start to feel the disconnect because you've connected with God. That's where you say, okay, time to shut it off. Might be an hour. I don't know. And you may be saying, well, what about my all-nighters? Oh, just limit them to once in a while. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about because you don't know anything about video games. And it's amazing the dark hole that it sucks you into. But the same thing with food. You get to a place of hunger, and you almost, if you press through whatever it is you're fasting, now, if you're under a doctor's care, you need to check with him. We said that last week. I want to say it again. So many of you, sometimes you'll be on medication. You need to eat something. But you can eat just enough. You want to get to a place of hunger. So let's just say you've skipped a meal, or you've gone 3 days, or 5 days, or a week. Some of you say, believe me, you could. You'd be surprised. All right, don't start with a week. Start little. Ease into it. We said that last week. I'm just going over this because I saw a lot of hands that went up that weren't here last week. And so what you do is you ease into this thing. And so what ends up happening is you start to get to a place where you're thinking, okay, I'm going to eat again. Well, I guarantee you, you'll start to eat and do it slow. You'll start to feel, okay, well, that's enough. And you'll stop eating right there. And then you start to live that way throughout the course of the year. It's so important, so important. Garbage in, garbage out. What am I reading? What am I listening to? What am I eating? See, not only are we cleansing ourselves spiritually, you are going to get health benefits from this as well, all right? As you curb your appetite, different types of fast, no food, no water. You can just have juices, no pleasant food. They call the Daniel fast. Again, we have information on the website. We've got information out in the foyer. If you do the Daniel fast, I recommend that you, if you want to do some of their recipes, go for it, but just watch yourself because you can eat pretty high on the hog on the Daniel fast. And I really don't think that's the purpose of fasting. But today I want to talk a little bit about what I believe is a primary purpose for fasting. And there's three things. Number one, to come into agreement with God's word. Number two, to align my life with what his word says, and number three, to fulfill my assignment. See, you and I need to come into agreement with the will of God for our lives. Then we need to align our word so we can fulfill the assignment that God has for me and for you. God has an assignment for you that only you can fulfill. And if you don't take time to set aside and to find out what that looks like by reading the word of God, we've got Bible reading plans for you, by seeking the Lord, by laying food down, by taking time. And remember last week we talked about creating space for God. Then we're not going to be able to come into agreement. I meet Christian after Christian that just has no idea what the will of God is for their life. And I understand that because you need to, it takes work. You need to seek God and find out. And sometimes we think, well, that's not important, Pastor. Let me just say this. Some of us, I believe, have a great call to work, make money, and support the gospel financially, where that's a primary call that's on our lives. All of us are called to support financially in some way or another. We really are, to give our tithes. Bible's clear on that. So we'll just use that as an example. What if you just started to say, well, Lord, I'm going to dedicate the tithe to you this year. Do you know what kind of a difference that would make? Not only in the generosity that God would build in you, but if you tithe to this church, we'd use that money. We'd preach the gospel. Just think with me for a minute. I'm just going to talk practically. If you don't give that money, that's stuff we can't do. You didn't know I was so good at math, did you? See, let's just take the spiritual voodoo out of this and realize we have a part to play. And that's just one area. Maybe God's called you to start a ministry where you minister to women who have been caught in some form of slavery, whether it's just working the streets or maybe they've been sold into some kind of sex trafficking. Maybe they've been out on the street. We just helped some people living on the street at the end of last year. It was awesome. But maybe God's called you to do something. Maybe God's called you to work with children. Maybe God's called you to move out of the country. Maybe God's called you to do something right here in Traverse City. But listen, if you don't start where you are, if you don't start to realize that you are valuable and that you have a call and that it's worth giving up some food and giving up some entertainment, then no one's going to fulfill that call on your life. And if that doesn't get you excited, then you don't have a spiritual bone in your body. But it's so important that you and I, at the beginning of the year in particular, start to learn to live our lives in agreement, alignment, getting to our assignment. Many times we get comfortable in our situation. We think, well, my life's not that bad. But the question is it God's best for you? Is it God's best? And honestly, the answer to that should always be no. We never arrive. Paul the Apostle said, not that I've arrived, not that I've attained, but one thing I do, I keep pressing on for that thing, that one thing that Christ laid hold of for me. We never get there, folks. We're not trying to get God to change his mind by fasting. Listen, you can't get God to change his mind. But you can line up with God's will for your life. We're not twisting his arm. Listen, when you fast, you're fasting for you. So you can draw near to God. Asking him to align us with his will. To align us with his will, you and I must first be in agreement with it. When we read the word of God that says again, bring the tithe into the storehouse. You say, okay, I can do that. Bible says that Christ, in Christ, is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You can say, I'm a new creature. I can do that. Bible says to not be conformed to this world, but be renewed by the transforming of your mind, or be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the good, perfect, acceptable will of God is. You can say, I can do that. The Bible says the will of God is your sanctification. That means being set apart for service. You can say, I can do that. But then the next step that we take is, Lord, how do I get in alignment with that once I've read your word? See, fasting is something that's proactive. It's not reactive. We're preparing ourselves, getting into the will of God. Now, I think there's times where we may be facing a rough time. I've had it in my life where I've gone through something that kind of came by surprise. I know nothing takes God by surprise. But sometimes we have surprises where I'll choose to fast just to get a hold of God and to pray and take a portion of time. But listen, fasting, like we're teaching, is something we get in the habit of, training our flesh to fast and to pray so that we are being proactive, building ourselves up spiritually. Amos 3:3, it says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Of course, the answer to that is no. And if we don't agree with God, guess who's wrong? When I fast and pray, I'm coming into agreement with the will of God. Once I'm in agreement, he can start to reveal areas of my life that are out of alignment and make corrections. 2 Corinthians 4:16, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. And when you fast, you feel like your outward man is perishing for a portion of that fast. But press on. Don't quit. Keep going. Stick with it. He says, yet your inward man is being renewed, what, day by day. For the light of affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And the concept here that Paul's talking about really is talking about trials that we go through. But if you look at the spiritual concept, everything we go through, we are choosing to afflict our bodies so that Christ can be renewed on the inside of us. And that is the purpose of fasting. Fasting will open up our lives to God and expose areas of selfishness in my life. That's one of the primary purposes of fasting. And what will happen, if you take this serious and really do it, one of the first things you'll start to realize is, man, I'm full of me. I am so used to eating this, eating that, buying this, doing that. Start to realize areas where you're spiritually lazy. That's okay. You know, take it and say, okay, God, I see this now. Now that we've seen what the Bible expects of me, now I can start to, through fasting, start to see where I don't align, and then ask God to start to correct and to help me to get in line. Start to sharpen that axe, so to speak. James 3:16 says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who what? Make peace. And so see, one of the things that we'll find out when we fast and when we pray is we'll realize that we're living a life that has some hypocrisy in it. We're living a life where we're partial in some areas. The Bible tells us in one place that God doesn't delight in unjust scales. God wants us to take areas in our life and come and say, Lord, there's an area in my life where I'm out of balance. Lord, tune me up. Bring me into alignment with your perfect will. With self out of the way, we can yield to God's wisdom. What does God want me to do? We can walk in peace with ourselves, with God, and with one another. And I meet so many Christians that are confused, that are living a life that is far from Christ. And right here is the primary reason. Because we are living a life of self-seeking. We are living a life that is all about me. Just our example with fasting or giving. I understand that can be a challenge for some of us when we first start to do it, but it's because we think, well, I need that money. Well, yeah. But you know that selfishness? You are trusting yourself. Say, I know the Word of God says this, but, well, then what are we saying? That we can do it better than God? No wonder our life isn't full of wisdom. No wonder our life isn't pure. No wonder our life isn't peaceable. No wonder our life isn't gentle. No wonder our life is not willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, because we are living a life full of self. Ephesians 4:22, he says this, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And so what we're doing is we're putting off the old nature and we're putting on Christ. We're saying, that's not me anymore. I'm not going to live that way anymore. I'm going to live like Jesus. Jesus said in John 4:34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to what? Finish his work. Listen, the food that you and I should be eating is getting a hold of the will of God, getting into agreement with it, asking God to align us, and then fulfilling our assignment. Jesus told the disciples just a couple verses before that, I have food to eat that you don't know of. Listen, you and I are setting aside time as we fast and pray to hear another voice, to hear the voice of the Lord. See, we know the voice of TV, of radio, news, friends. We know the voice of worry, of guilt, of need, of ambition, pressure, success, and boy, don't we know the voice of failures. I mean, you know, if you've lived any amount of time, you've gone through some failures. But those are not the voices that God wants us to listen to. He wants us to listen to his voice and continue to obey what his voice says. So many times we get so sucked into the world that we look just like everybody else who doesn't know Christ. Maybe you're fasting some form of entertainment. Listen, there's something, you know, Trish and I love to watch movies. But we choose to watch it. We have Charter for our table, for our provider, our cable provider. And we just rent it on the on-demand thing, which is probably not the least expensive way. But we like it because we can look through, see what they have available. And then we get out the computer and we get an IMDb. And we take a look at that and we say, okay, what is this really rated R for? What is this really rated PG-13 for? You can't trust those ratings, by the way. There's times I've watched an R movie that a PG-13 movie I had to pop out. And if you're fasting and praying and starting to live this way, you're going to see something and just something that comes on the screen, you're going to go, yuck. Listen, you don't need to see two people naked in bed together. Hello. Awful quiet in here. That's not feeding your spiritual man. Well, Pastor, it ain't hurting me. You are so deceived. No, it's killing you. Spiritually, it's killing you. Because you think it doesn't matter. You say, well, it's just a few F-bombs, Pastor. It can't hurt me. No, but it can suck the spiritual life out of you. And if you just kind of watch those F-bombs and it ain't no big deal, you say, well, that's how everybody talks anyway, Pastor. You don't understand. You're not in the world. Oh, no, I do understand. I have contact with people. I know how they all talk. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you don't have enough contact with the world. But you don't have to live there. Some of you say, well, I'm going to fast foul language. Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe you could. I don't know if you can fast foul language. How about if you just fast something else in your life, like cigarettes? Pastor, I couldn't quit cigarettes. Why? Cigarettes are stronger. A pack of cigarettes has more strength than I do. Now, I'm not trying to beat anybody up, but think about that. Can you imagine? But Lord, I didn't know what your will was. I couldn't tithe. Yeah, but you bought cigarettes. And you learned a whole vocabulary that I never ordained. Come on. But Pastor, you don't understand what it's like where I work. Yes, I do. Yep. Yes, I do. You don't have to live that way. It's your choice. Who got in your head and told you? Who told you that? Who told you that? You don't have to live that way. But maybe if we would take something and fast something that hurts, maybe we'd get something spiritual out of this fast. Are you with me this morning? See, I don't believe that you and I can come into complete alignment with God's will for our lives without fasting. I'm going to tell you, I say that because if Jesus had to fast, if Jesus had to pray, Lord, if this cup can depart from me, I believe that wasn't the first time Jesus prayed like that in the garden. That's just the first time the disciples heard him. I think there were many times Jesus got off to be with his Father and said, Lord, Father, I need some strength. If he had to do it, then I need to do it. If he had to fast and pray to fulfill the call of God on his life, then I need to fast and pray to fulfill the call of God on my life. Or you can just take your life selfishly as if it was yours. And you can live your life as if you're not accountable to anyone, but there's going to come a time where you're going to realize that we're all accountable. And then we need to make choices. And when we fast and when we pray and when we sincerely set aside time for God, when we sincerely afflict our body and deny it something that it needs, not just that it wants, something it needs. That's why it's important to skip some amount of food at some point. Very important. Very, very important. I want to read this portion of Scripture, John 16. In verse 12, Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. I mean, no, if you want to know the will of God, you need to know what's coming around the corner. Holy Spirit is sent to lead us and to guide us. He will glorify me, listen to this, for he will take of what is mine and declare it or speak it over you. All things that the Father are or has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it or speak it over you. Let me break this down a little bit here because this will help you. Holy Spirit comes to speak the will of God into our lives, to declare or speak over us the things that God has given to Jesus. And then Jesus says, all things, say all things, that the Father has are mine. Think about that. Jesus is saying, there is nothing that my Father has that are not mine, and I speak those things over you. That's powerful. That is powerful. Yet we can spend our whole lives and say, well, I didn't know what the will of God was for my life, Pastor. Yeah, but you watched 5,000 episodes of The Walking Dead. But Pastor, I just didn't know what the will of God was for my life. I didn't know. Yeah, but you spent, I don't even know, $50,000 on cigarettes in the course of a lifetime. That's probably low. But God, I didn't know what your will was for my life. Yeah, but you ate 2 quarter pounders with cheese and French fries every day for lunch. And then a Wendy's triple and a Frosty at 3 o'clock because, you know, I got to get the edge off. Then you get home at 6 o'clock and you're starving. And if mama don't have dinner ready, you're mad. But. Oh. Listen. Your life is not your own. That's what Jesus said. You may not hear that in some churches. See, I don't want you to leave feeling good. I want you to leave thinking about what you can change. I want you to leave praying, saying, God, is that true what Pastor Tony said? Because if you just leave feeling good, that won't last to the parking lot. All I can give you is what I got. This is what the Bible says. And I don't know what kind of Christian could live a life without praying, without fasting, without giving, and stand before a righteous God and say, but, now listen, you're not on your own. He'll come in, he'll strengthen you, he'll cure you, he'll lift you up. But until we get to this point where we're willing to lay down a portion of our lives, to lay down things not only that we desire, but that we need. If this fast, if you haven't laid down something that hurts, you're not fasting. That's why I said if you use the Daniel fast and just make all these big old recipes but take out meat, you're missing it. The fact of the matter is we eat a lot more than we need to, most of us. All right, we live in a country where you can eat a lot more than you need. Very easy. You go to a restaurant, I'm not kidding you. I am not kidding you. And I like to eat. I got a healthy appetite. But Trish and I, we can hardly go to a restaurant. We don't split something. If you eat the whole plate, I'm not trying. I'm just saying, we live in a society full of me. And then when a preacher preaches something like this, we think, ain't coming back to that church. That's okay. That's okay. But listen, whether you come back to this church or not, you can't run from this truth. because it's the truth, okay? I'm not sugarcoating it, so maybe we're not used to it because we don't preach the truth today. So we don't know what it looks like. Matter of fact, I think all of us sound a lot like Pontius Pilate. Jesus was standing there. And he said, what is truth? That's what Pontius Pilate said. Looking at the truth, the way, and the life, he said, what is truth? We live in a time where we have distorted the lie and believed it as the truth. And in many times we wrap it up pretty, put a bow on it, and we call it Christianity. We wonder why. Well, how come there's signs and wonders in Africa, and how come in Brazil and South America, and how come some parts of the country, this person got healed, that person got healed, how come somebody over here, even in this congregation, how come their life is blessed but mine isn't blessed? Because we're not living the right life. When you look at third world countries, they're almost forced into fasting because they don't have anything. They should still fast too. I don't care what culture we're in. But when you're living in a third world country, and you already don't have food, and your water looks like something you and I dump out back. How many think when you hear, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that it's going to change your life? But we sit back and we go, I don't know. I don't know. But I don't know if that's God's will. Find out. Oh, I got to stop because of time's sake, but boy, I don't want to. Find out. In James, it says your life is a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. What will you do with it? Let's pray. Father, I thank you today that the truth has been spoken here. That today you're moving on our hearts. You're starting to take the process, Lord, of cleansing us, strengthening us, helping us to remove things that shouldn't be there. And we know we can do this because it's you living on the inside of us. It's no longer I who live. I've been crucified with Christ. Now my life is being lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me, giving his life for me. Maybe you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Say, Pastor, what does that mean? I mean, do you know that you're on your way to heaven? That's exactly what I mean. I'm not talking about going to church. Some of us may say, well, I went to catechism, or I went to confirmation, or I did this class. No, I'm not. That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking, do you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Some of you, you know Christ, but you know you're not living for him. Something happened over the past 10 years, 5 years, 15, 20 years, I don't know. Either category, you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need to come to Christ or I got to come back to Christ. I know my life is not lined up with him. Today, I'm making a choice. On the count of three, I want to see your hand. 1, 2, 3. Lift your hand up. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hands all over the place. Keep your hands up, please. Just keep your hands up. Our ushers are making their way over to you, so please, I'm so proud of you. That is the best decision you've ever made. The best decision you've ever made. Hands all over. One in the back, back there, front here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, here's what I want to do. I want all of us to pray. I'm so proud of you that lifted your hands. Our ushers just gave you information that's going to be a blessing to you. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But for right now, I want everybody in this place, just repeat after me. Say this. Say, Lord Jesus, today I come to you. I thank you for your sacrificial life. I thank you that you laid it down for me. I receive your gift. I receive your righteousness. I'm not going to live for myself. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek you. And I thank you that you are filling me to overflowing with your presence. And thank you that I get to spend eternity with you. Oh, let's rejoice together. That is the greatest news. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You are on your way to heaven. If you got one of those packets, I encourage you, fill out the card on the inside. We want to pray for you. Turn it into the information center. Take the packet home. That book is full of scriptures. It tells you what your new life is like. Please take that home and take time to read it. All right. Well, this morning, before we dismiss, we just want to acknowledge that today is Sanctity of Life Sunday. I want to read a scripture out of Psalm 100, verse 3. It says, "Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are His." In another translation, it said, "It's He who made us, and we not ourselves." We live in a time where we're confused. So many people think, well, you know, man created God. God didn't create man. God's just something that man created in his head. You know, that's not the truth. The truth is God made us. It says, "We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." And so many times when we think of sanctity of life, of course, we think of abortions because that's just been at the forefront. And, you know, if you've had an abortion, God loves you. You're not condemned. There's a tremendous pain with that attached, and God wants to help you and heal you. But that's just one area. Think about the people that struggle with sickness. Think about the people who are orphans. Think about people who are living a life that is so far below what God has for them. And the key is, am I taking today, am I going to pray for those who are less fortunate? And am I going to ask God what I can do to make a difference? Today, as we celebrate Sanctity of Life, I want to leave you with this video. Take time to watch it. Let Holy Spirit speak to you as we celebrate life together, as we ask God to use our life to reach another. God bless you. Have a great week.